Warning for supernatural horror, which includes descriptions of physical and verbal abuse.
Welcome to Hypotheticals. Please keep your seatbelt buckled, your hands and feet in the car at all times, and don't forget to pay the toll on the ghost road.
Okay. We're recording.
Hey, guys.
You said that you wanted to.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh my god, why?
What are you screaming about now?
The sun is so bright.
Hey, at least you have a fucking visor. My car doesn't have one at all.
Oh my god, I would cry.
Okay,
I need to clean the inside of this window.
So, I was trying to think, like, you put me on the spot. So I was thinking about things we could talk about.
Okay.
And I want to tell you about an old...
Is it story time?
Story time.
It's
Zoe's story time.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about a... Is it a myth or is it a legend? If it involves a ghost. Is it a myth?
Myth? Legend? Well, I mean, legend is kind of... I don't know. What's the difference? Myth is more of a, like, religious ancient thing, whereas a legend is kind of heroic... nonsense. I hate this turn. Don't want to get hit in the face by a car. Vroom.
You're not going to get hit in the face by the car. No. Okay. So I had to go look to see what they call it on Wikipedia, just so that I can, like, correctly look at it. So, it is... hold on. I'm trying to...
Oh my goodness. This, folks, is what happens when you're not prepared for recording. Oh dear. Well, I mean, look, it's a myth or a legend or whatever.
Okay.
Like...
I had to remember what it was called, because I...
Okay.
So we're gonna... It's a legend. It's a legendary creature, technically.
Okay.
So I'm gonna tell you, have you seen or heard of the Blair Witch Project?
Yes.
So, okay, for those of you...
I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen the movie. So for those of you who don't know what the Blair Witch Project is it... It's this movie that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
It's the very first major movie... that used what's called the found footage technique, which is basically where they try to pass off professional filming as non-professional filming. So, like, movies like
Cloverfield
and stuff like that, where it's supposed to be this string together bits of, like, found tape that people construct a story around. So the Blair Witch Project was based around this idea that these teenagers, they took their camera into the woods with them when they went camping, and they ran into the Blair Witch, which is like an evil witch lady. An evil witch lady, the whole premise is basically, they're like, ha ha ha, Blair Witch, you're not real, ha ha ha, fuck you, if you're real, do stuff to us. And then the Blair Witch is like, alright fam, I'll fuck you up. And then she fucks them up.
Why do they keep doing that? Like,
I mean, to be fair, the Blair Witch Project, it's a horror movie. And it's also, again, one of, if not the first major horror film to ever do something like that. Like, there have been...
For people to go and request ghosts or...
No, to structure it that way.
Well, no, I know,
because
it's this fucking trope that drives me nuts.
Yes.
Where people are like, let's go into this haunted house and antagonize the ghosts. Why?
I mean,
why,
like...
Why are you doing that?
Because it's supposed to be, you know, if you make them mad enough at you, that they'll slap you, and then you'll know they're real, basically. So, I'm from Tennessee. That's where I grew up. And now whether or not this is real or not, this is what was told to me by my dad, who's the big storyteller in my family, right now, he's still around. But my dad always told me that the Blair Witch Project was based off of a real thing that really happened. And it's a legend from Tennessee called the Bell Witch, or the Bell Witch Hauntings. So the caveat in the Blair Witch Project is, like, there was this girl in the 1800s, and, like, she got accused of witchcraft, and then she got murdered, and, like, it's a whole thing, and so now she might or might not have actually been a witch. It's been years since I saw this movie. So
I've heard about it third hand, and I think that's the only time I ever got a synopsis. It's the equivalent of the synopsis I got from my mother about the Phantom of the Opera, which was actually a synopsis of an Australian film.
So I'm going to tell you the story of the Bell Witch.
Yes.
So the Bell Witch, it's a poltergeist legend from Adams, Tennessee, which is a town that's actually like a 45-minute to hour drive away from where I grew up. And so the story goes kind of like this. So John Bell Sr. was a very wealthy farmer in and around what is now Adams, Tennessee. So back when all this happened, none of the town names were really the same. It was during a period where Tennessee was really considered to be kind of a territory. Like, it was the wilderness beyond the mountains. You know, it was like the early 1800s. So we're talking, like, people still alive who were in the Revolutionary War to fight against Great Britain. And so the legend goes that his family and the area around where his family lived, which is this farming area, was attacked by this entity. Like, this evil spirit.
Hey, look, food.
We're going to stop for food, and then I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Okay. But suffice to say, the opening is, there's this guy named John Bell Sr. He lives near Adams, Tennessee. What is now Adams, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And his family gets fucking haunted.
Surprise.
So, it goes kind of like this. Also, there's a Blair Witch, a Bell Witch cave. I'm not really sure why the cave is there. Anyway, so, it's the mid-1800s in rural Tennessee.
Dude, I'm going 70. Why are you going around me?
Because some people are impatient. Anyway, so it's 1816?
It's sometime in the 1800s.
Yeah, no, 1816, 1817.
Okay, sometime in the
18-teens. And
66 or something like that.
Pa Bell, or Mr. Bell, reports that the hauntings begin when he's hanging out in his house and he hears something scratching around outside, and being the, you know, God-fearing 1800s Tennessee man, he pulls his rifle out and he goes, I'm gonna shoot whatever's out there. And he walks out, and according to the records, he sees a dog with a rabbit's head in his bushes. And so he shoots at it. And people who believe in this myth think that this is where, that is what started it, because whatever that thing was connected to the witch. Because once he shoots at it, it disappears.
Yeah, guys, like, pro tip here. If you see something fucking weird,
just leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Just, like, leave it alone. Don't try to kill it.
Don't try to talk to it.
Don't try to talk to it. Don't interact with it. Just, like, turn tail and leave.
Just leave. So, after he shoots at this rabbit dog.
Unless you know what it is.
Yeah. And you know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So he shoots at the rabbit dog and it disappears, like, vanishes. And then he and his family start reporting that over a period of a couple of weeks, these noises that Mr. Bell had heard, the scratching, the pawing, they go from being inside of, or outside of the house to inside of the house, in between, you know, the walls, under the floorboards, in the attic, at night, during the day, and it starts tormenting them.
Okay, at that point, I'm getting a caravan, and
so, it starts tormenting them, and it starts out, it just, as noises, and then they report that it goes from noises to interactions. So, doors closing, and the sound of people walking up and down stairs, things like that. And then it gets worse, and it becomes physical harm.
I've been there. I've been at the physical harm with the ghost state, and it's fucking terrifying.
And
that's when you get the sage and, like, seven witches to come into your house and, like, consecrate it. Because, fuck!
So, oddly enough, in this story, The Bells never, to my knowledge, request an exorcism.
Seriously?
They don't, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I'm sure it's talked about. Now, this is my shady memory of the story, so it might have happened. There's apocryphal versions that do and do not include it. But what ends up happening is it goes from just touches and light brushes to physical harm. And it seems to be, like, focused around the daughter, the youngest daughter, whose name I think is Betsy. And it goes from, like, Betsy reports being kicked, being slapped, being stabbed, being screamed at. The rest of the family is also being, you know, fucked with, but Betsy for some reason gets it the worst. So the Bells are like, all right, we need help. You know, this shit's gotten out of control. We're praying about it. It's not helping anything. Because the Bells were devout Christians. And they're like, the Christian way of dealing with ghosts is to just pray about that shit and hope it goes away. And if you're Roman Catholic, you pray about that shit, hope it goes away, and then petition the Vatican for an exorcism. Yeah. If it gets really, really bad.
Excuse me, Pope.
please help. So they reach out to this family friend, a guy named... James Johnston, I think is his name. And they're like, dude, the shit's gotten really serious. It's starting to try. It basically is.
Hold on. Was his name Jimmy Johnston?
It was something a J and a J.
Jimmy Johns.
Okay. So they invite Jimmy Johns Johnston over and they're like, all right, we need help. And Johnston is not convinced that this is real. You know, this is, the 1800s were a time of high spiritualism. People, like, went crazy for possessions and ghost stories, like, and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times
they killed people and burned their hearts in vampire rituals. Like, and they did that till the 30s, 1930s.
Yeah. So he's like, he's figuring if it's anything, it's probably just one of the children, like, probably the women, because sexism and shit, is, like, they're crazy, is doing, like, pretending to get hurt, pretending to hear things for attention.
Betsy is stabbing herself.
Self for attention, yes. So he comes and he stays over, and he's like, all right, I'll stay over, I'll see if I can help. So he comes over, and he hangs out with the Bells, and eventually he ends up going to sleep in their house because he's staying over. And he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he reports that this entity has started to attack him as well, because he's now in the house, and it's started to hurt him. So he's, like, immediately, like, a believer. He's like, okay, this shit is real. I don't know what to do. And Johnston is the first one who's like, all right, this is some biblical shit going on. This is some real shit. Now, about this point, the Bell Witch starts talking to people. Like, having full-blown conversations with people. And it tells them that its name is Kate. And that it's mad. And it starts doing this thing where it will have full-blown conversations with people. They can ask it questions and it'll answer back in an intelligent manner. And so the Bell family reports that Kate, the spirit slash witch, is harassing them verbally now. And Johnston ends up going home eventually and reports that it follows him. And this is the next step in the Bell Witch saga. It starts following people back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And they start reporting that... It becomes, now this is really rare in ghost stories, it becomes independent of the people that it's haunting.
This episode is gonna need, like, a lot of fucking trigger warnings.
Yeah, so it starts moving around, as far as they can tell. There's this story where it starts reciting things at this point, and it recites verbatim two sermons given in two different locations on the same day by different preachers. It starts reciting biblical shit to him.
Okay, how do people know that those preachers did this?
Because what happens a lot
they
of
times... like, publish it?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll publish...
like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so reportedly it's two different sermons that happened at the same time, and it overheard both of them and was repeating them to the Bell family. So this time, Johnston, is like, okay, I gotta test this shit out. It's, like, following people around. We gotta figure out how it's doing this and what's happening. And also, he's still kind of maybe convinced that somebody might be making it up. So he says, all right, I'm going to ask Kate the Ghost, I'm going to ask the Bell Witch a question that nobody in the Bell family would know the answer to. Because if it's one of them, if I ask it something that they don't know, they won't, the Bell Witch won't be able to answer back because the Bell family won't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he ends up asking the Bell Witch what the name of his great-grandmother is. And this woman is, like, from somewhere in Europe, like Sweden or something. And he's like, you know, Bell Witch, what's the name of my great-grandmother? And the witch replies to in the story, in the grandmother's voice, going, what? What's going on? And at this point, the fucking ghost starts imitating people's voices. It starts knowing things from places it shouldn't have been. An English guy comes and stays with the Bell family at one point, and he's like, hey, I'll totally test out this ghost shit. Because by this point, the Bell family is, like, kind of famous that because they're being haunted by this ghost thing. And he's like, I'm going to test it. And
my shampoo might be here.
Don't we have to go to the... Oh, I see a box. Let me finish my story, and then we'll find out if you're shampooed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the English guy is like, ha-ha, you're not real, ha-ha, doing the 1800s version of I'm going to yell at the ghost to make it prove it's not real. And then it starts mimicking his parents, who live in England. And then he goes to sleep. Why people continue to sleep in this house, I don't know. But he wakes up in the morning to the voices of his parents going, son, is that you? As if the witch had gone to England and imitated him in his parents' home.
Another pro tip, y'all. If there is a ghost in your house and it's not doing your laundry or making you pie, you should take care of that.
So at this point in the story, everybody starts getting fucking paranoid. So Mr. Bell is convinced that the ghost is trying to kill him specifically.
Not Betsy.
Mm-hmm. She's saying that the witch is harming Betsy because Betsy is his favorite. And so he knows, the witch knows that if he hurts Betsy, that, it'll get to him. However, on the other hand, Miss Bell, Betsy's mother, is liked by the witch. So the witch is, like, nice to Betsy's mom.
What the fuck?
I know, right? And apparently, calls her something like the most perfect woman, the most godly woman to ever walk the earth. Right? And apparently, like, brought her food and sung church hymnals to her and was just, like, generally super nice to the mom, which is really fucking weird. So around this time, Betsy gives it in her head. She's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. So she ends up getting engaged to a young man from another nearby family. And at this point, shit goes off the rails because Kate the Ghost is not okay with this. This is, like, not acceptable. Betsy is hers. She's not allowed to marry any stupid old man. Betsy is hers. So, like, weird 1800s lesbian ghost story. Like,
yeah, I think that's a bit too abusive for lesbians.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, Kate the Ghost apparently loves Betsy's mom, loves Betsy, but also is abusive to her and is trying to murder everybody else in the Bell family.
I'm not labeling that as lesbian. I'm labeling that as fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. Supposedly, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually, like, Betsy breaks off her engagement because the witch starts trying to kill her, and the witch starts haunting her fiancé and her fiancé's family, and it's just, like, nobody wants to be involved with the Bells, and fucking it ends when the fucking patriarch fucking gets poisoned and dies. But Pa Bell gets poisoned by the witch
and dies.
That's the end of it. And well, supposedly to her dying day. Betsy ends up getting married and, you know, having kids and shit later in life. And supposedly to the end of her days, Betsy continues to occasionally be haunted by the Bell Witch. Who apparently, once she kills Dad Bell, is, like, kind of okay with everything again.
I mean, it makes sense. He shot at her rabbit dog or whatever.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that is exactly why you do not, like, attempt to injure things that are weird looking.
So, she was like, and the thing was, so Betsy ends up getting married and having kids and all that kind of shit. And then eventually later, the ghost apparently shows up again at some point. I don't know if it's for her kids or like when she's married. And they're just like, again, this advice is solid, even in the 1800s. They decide instead of encouraging the witch by trying to banish her, they'll just ignore her. And the fucking witch goes away and stops bothering them. So again, if your house is haunted, and it's haunted by a bad witch, or a bad ghost, or a bad spirit, or a bad whatever thing might be fucking through the spirit realm in your home, do not encourage it. Think of them like bullies, right? Don't acknowledge they exist. Because even if that acknowledgement, even if you try to be nice to one, like a poltergeist, that won't matter. They feed on attention.
It's worked well enough for me to sage.
But, yes.
You know, there's certain things that you can do, but don't, like, go and get, like, priests to come and chant
in your house. I mean, if that's really what, like, your spirituality tells you is going to help you, I mean, do it. But 90% of the time, in my experience and in the experience of a lot of other people who've had supernatural incidents, is that if you just don't engage with it, it tends to get bored and leave you alone. And even if it stays around, if you do non-invasive ways of trying to get it out, like, don't go full Ghost Adventures Bros and start screaming at it, because then it'll just want to bother you more.
Yeah.
Ignore it, sage your house, call your priest, ask them to say a prayer, fucking leave it alone. And if it's really bad, fucking move.
Yeah.
If you turn into fucking Betsy Bell and you start getting slapped and punched and hit and, like, stabbed, maybe it's time to consider moving.
Or maybe, like, the minute you notice that you have a, like, very angry spirit in your house, and saging and praying or whatever hasn't worked, maybe that's the point where you should go, I acknowledge that you're angry. I'm a fuck off now.
Yeah. And if it gets worse and it follows, then at that point, escalate to your next level of spiritual help. If that's a coven, good. If that's fucking calling the Vatican, great. But the basic point is that be like Betsy Bell as an adult and just don't engage with the evil ghost spirit woman.
Yeah.
Don't feed it. But that's the story of the Bell Witch. And for those of you who are interested, the Bell home still stands near Adams, Tennessee. You can go in. They have tours. There's also, like I said earlier, there's a cave nearby called the Bell Witch Cave, which supposedly, you know, if you believe the rumors, is still haunted by the Bell Witch to this day. And if you go in there and you ghost bro talk at her, she'll answer. I didn't have that experience when I went, but I was also not stupid enough to start yelling at her. So, you know, your mileage may vary on whether or not she answers back to you.
Yeah, I'm just not gonna antagonize.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just generally don't antagonize spirits. But that's the story of the Bell Witch, which was told to me as being the basis for the Blair Witch Project.
Interesting.
Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But anyway, that's been Zoe's ghost story. Tennessee is a scary place. There are fainting goats also.
Fainting goats are funny.
Yeah. But let's focus on the fainting.
Aren't the fainting goats, don't they have like an illness or something?
It's something that runs in that particular line of goat. I don't think it's like the kittens that faint.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's a different thing.
Okay. Might be
thinking about the kittens. Anyway, this has been story time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hypotheticals is a Crossroads Stations production featuring Erie Alexander and Zoe Von Embler. Musical theme by Shannon Sawyer. For more information, please visit crossroadsstations.com.